a joke about Hillary Spite. A serial in six parts by Christopher Bidmead. With Angela Pleasance, Dinsdale Landon, and Rolf Lefevre. Episode 3, Zeus.
Are you still in the bath, Hillary?
What? Yes. Who's at the door?
It'll be Mortimer. It's all right, there's no hurry.
Come in. She's in the bathroom.
Doing what?
What do you mean, doing what?
What's she doing in the bathroom?
Having a bath, as it happens. Why?
This flat gives me the creeps, actually. No windows, it's like being in orbit.
How do you know? You have never been in orbit.
All right, in a submarine, then. I asked what she was doing in the bathroom, because, if you remember the last time I happened to peek into a bathroom she was using, I found her cutting her wrists with a razor blade.
There are no razors in there. I checked, just in case.
Well, is she still feeling suicidal?
No, I don't think so.
Well, that's nice. Now, clear this table for me, would you, Jane? I want to lay this stuff out.
What is it?
Data.
Oh. Data?
Eh. Yes, well, for ginning up our little whiz kid in there. What do you make of her, by the way?
Yeah. She's certainly not your type.
But what I mean is, what's she like from the point of view of this job? I mean, is she as bright a button as Berry says she is?
Mr. Beresford obviously believes she can do it, or he wouldn't have recruited her. Haven't you seen her file?
Oh, yes. I've just come from a long briefing session, and Beresford's been waving that file at me all afternoon. Personally, I'm unimpressed with things like IQ tests. Pieces of paper prove nothing. She hasn't even been to university.
But then, if I remember correctly, Mr. Mortimer, neither have you.
7 years in the Navy counts for a damn sight more than some flimsy red brick degree. I leave that to the so-called intellectuals, and they're welcome to it.
The other thing is that she's an expert on computers.
She trained with Compa as a programming controller. That hardly makes her an expert.
Trained nothing. She raced through the course. They couldn't hold her back. At the end of 3 weeks, they had nothing more to teach her.
All right, I'm prepared to accept the fact that she has some sort of mathematical kink that makes her useful to us. But let's keep our sense of perspective. Beresford seems to have got it into his head that this girl is an open sesame who'll wrap the whole thing up in two shakes of a duck's tail.
And you don't think she will?
I'm no binary boffin, Jean, dear, but I've been reading up on this computer thing, and I can tell you that we have one hell of a task in front of us. Beresford is blissfully unaware of the pitfalls. The info is sitting waiting for you inside the computer, and all you've got to do is to get it out. The fact that it's not our computer, and the owners aren't going to take kindly to us having a prodigy, doesn't seem to worry him.
What will you do? Steal it?
Steal it? Steal what?
Steal the computer.
My dear Jean, have you any idea what the Zeus computer looks like?
No, I don't know anything about computers.
That I can believe. Now look at these papers on the table. Now, you see that?
Yeah.
Now, it's a photograph of the computer terminal. Now, that's where the operator sits and does the programming. It probably weighs, what would you say, a ton and a half?
All right.
And this one is a photo of the other half of the computer, the tape bank.
A whole wall of what looks like tape recorders.
Exactly, a whole wall of them.
Yes, I see. It was a silly question.
Yes, well, you see how many reels there are? Now, each reel holds 2,400 feet of tape. Now, somewhere on one of those reels is about 1 foot of tape that contains the information we need.
How do you find the needle in a haystack that size?
Well, that's precisely what I said to Berry. Well, apparently, Hillary is going to tell us. I say, Jean, you don't think Berry's having a dizzy spell, do you? Hmm? All those nuts and yogurt stuff gone to his head?
Well,
don't look at me like that. I mean, I mean it. I have the greatest admiration for the man. As a matter of fact, he's just done something rather sensible.
Eh, really? What's that?
Well, who's my favourite colleague?
Cannon. Well, what about him?
Well, Beresford's taken him off the project. Pending investigation.
Yes, I know. Mr. Beresford told me over the phone. But how did you know?
Well, I got him to do it.
Oh.
I've been telling him for weeks the chap's no damn good. Well, finally, Berry's paying me some slight heed.
Why, what happened?
Well, you wouldn't credit it. Now, you know that phone box around the corner from the centre?
Outside the sandwich bar?
That's the one. Well, when I came past there this afternoon on my way in, who should be in there making a phone call but our old chum, Cannon? Well, you know the regs as well as I do, and so does Cannon. Of course, it's not nice to sneak on a colleague, but in view of his already appalling record, I thought it only fair to the organisation.
Cannon was making an outside phone call?
Well, Berry was, Jean. But if occasions are very few nasty conjectures, so finally, Berry's taken him off. I mean, it's not as though we had agents to spare. I mean, if we had, we wouldn't be fooling about with teenage suicidal maniacs like
me. Oh, Hillary, this is Mortimer.
How do you do? My name's Mortimer.
It's the Prince of Wales jacket, man. You have a very virile handshake, Mortimer.
Thank you very much.
Not at all. I thought you'd be glad of the confirmation. Excuse my dressing gown. Where's Cannon?
Mr. Beresford has assigned control of this project to me.
Then where's Cannon?
Well, I can't discuss that.
All right, then. Let's discuss my father. You can start by telling me where he is.
I'm afraid I don't know the first thing about your father.
But you are supposed to be in control of this project.
That's right.
Then Beresford must have spoken to you about it.
I don't believe he has.
Then why do you think I'm doing this?
I've really no idea.
For fun?
I've said I've no idea.
You didn't think to ask Beresford.
It's none of my business.
I think if ever I had people working for me, the first thing I would want to know would be what they hope to get out of it.
Now, look here. Let's not come to blows. After all, we do have a job to do.
I don't like you, so why should I help you?
I think we'd better leave personalities out of this.
All right. I agree. I take it there'll be no more references to teenage suicidal maniacs.
Yes, well, I apologize for that.
This is a very quiet flat, and a little voice goes a long way.
Yes, well, I begin to see why Barry's so taken with you. I withdraw my remarks. I was very stupid. Jean, last time I was down here, there was some whiskey in that sideboard thing. I think we could all do with a quick sniff to all around.
Yes, it's always here. It's standard stock.
We don't have to sign for it or anything like that, do we? Well, that makes a change.
I'll get some glasses.
Not for me.
Oh, no, please do. It would make me feel better. Anyway, you'll need it when we get down to business.
Let's get down to business now.
Yes, all right. Now, how much do you know?
I know that Beresford wants to get some information out of the CIA computer in the American embassy without the Americans knowing about it. That's all.
Right. Let's sit down. Yes, I see you've been doing some studying.
Oh, the book. I was reading it in the bath.
As well as eavesdropping? Logic Systems and the Information Theory. Good book, that. I'm afraid I could make head or tail of it.
They're rather nice, aren't they, these glasses? Oh, I do think he has taste.
Oh, Barry. They're not whiskey glasses, though. Still, not to worry, I'll pour. Did you understand the book?
Yes.
Good. Well, say when.
When?
Here you are. Now, you're probably wondering why we're carrying out an intelligence op against the Yanks. Now, that suits you, Jean?
Lovely. Everything you people do seems screwy to me.
Well, here's to spying.
These photographs. Is this the computer?
Yes.
It looks like a Zeus.
A Z-E-U-S, yes it is. Now, would you be able to operate it?
Oh, that wouldn't be a problem, assuming we could get in there. But you were going to tell me why you want to steal the information from the Americans.
Well, we'd prefer to regard it more as a loan. It's all rather embarrassing, actually. You see, the CIA are a bit of a law unto themselves. They're friendly enough, but not always as communicative as we'd like. Now, we obviously have to look after our interests, so one day we planted one of our bods slap-bang in the middle of that organization on the old QT. A chap by the name of Proctor. Now, are you with me so far?
Yes, but what was going on in the CIA that you were so curious about?
Nothing whatsoever. It was purely a protective measure.
So Proctor had a very boring job?
Well, no, not actually. He was a very busy man. In fact, he had three jobs. An ostensible job at the American Embassy and a real job looking after all CIA agents in this country.
And his third job was passing all the information back to you.
Glad you're managing to follow all this. Yes, exactly. So that if any of their chaps started to get naughty, we'd be the first to know about it.
And did they?
What?
Start to get naughty.
Oh, no. Good as gold, for the most part. They confine themselves to counter-penetrating communist-penetrated organizations and fixing up baseball matches in Regent's Park on Sunday mornings. It was all very harmless and exactly as it should be until just under a week ago. Well, 5 days ago, our chap Proctor got bumped off. Now, there you have the essence of the problem.
Where was he killed?
In the reception hall of the American Embassy, of all places. He went down with what was laughingly described as a heart attack.
What makes you think it wasn't a heart attack?
Well, it's possible, but on the whole, we think not. He was a healthy man.
The man died 5 days ago, and you're still not sure whether he died of a heart attack or not. What's all the mystery about?
Well, they took him away, you see. Whisked the body off to the American Naval Hospital in Brook Street.
Do you think the Americans killed him?
Well, find out he was working for us, you mean? Oh, no, no, I don't think they go as far as bumping him off. No, the stakes aren't that high.
And they wouldn't have done it on their own doorstep?
No, that's the point.
So non-habeas corpus?
Yes. What?
Didn't you do Latin at school?
As a matter of fact, no.
I would have taken you for a public school type.
Well, of course, but it was a long time ago.
I said non-habeas corpus. We can't get at the body.
Quite.
So you did do Latin at school?
Yes. Well, I suppose I must have.
Which school was that?
Hadn't you better explain how the computer comes into the picture?
Yes, quite.
Well, that's obvious. You don't think the Americans killed him, but you do think they must have a pretty good idea who did. If that's true, the information, or at least a clue, will have gone into the file the CIA hold on Proctor. And as we're dealing with Americans, I would guess that the file won't just be a boring old cardboard folder like the one Beresford had on me. It'll be on tape, on the Zeus tape bank.
Reduced to its simplest terms, yes. That's more or less the idea. Well?
Well, what?
Well, Beresford led us to believe that you would dazzle us with an instantaneous solution.
I'd like some more whiskey.
Yes, all right. Jean?
No, thanks. You're being very unfair to her, Mortimer. You said it was impossible.
Well, Beresford doesn't seem to think so.
But he hasn't come up with a solution.
No, he's come up with Hillary instead.
I want to know more about this computer. It's rather a large one, isn't it? What else do they use it for?
Oh, it does the lot for them. Monthly salaries, weather diagnoses, service charges to various departments. It picks the teams for the baseball matches in Regent's Park I was telling you about, and computes baseball fixtures all over Europe. Voice of America be Paris match sort of thing. In addition, of course, to storing the CIA files. In its spare time, it even plays three-dimensional drafts.
Oh. Who with?
With another Zeus computer in Washington. I mean, it's completely futile, of course, but the Americans have a very curious sense of humour.
What's the link between the two computers? Transatlantic cable?
Yes, I suppose it's a cable link. Well, it'll be in the dossier. Yes, here it is.
The same cable they use for transatlantic phone calls?
Yes, they have a continuous booking on one channel of the cable. It's kept open all the time.
Just for the computer?
Apparently.
That must be very expensive if all it's used for is playing three-dimensional drafts.
Yes, well, I hadn't thought of it like that.
Let me have a look at that stuff again. Where did you get this information, anyway?
Well, of course, a lot of it came from Proctor himself. Unfortunately, Proctor didn't know much about computers.
There's something missing somewhere. Why bother to link the two computers at all? There must be some kind of... Yes, that's it. Mortimer, you only forgot to tell me the most important thing about the computer.
Oh? What's that?
The Zeus computer in Washington holds a duplicate of all the information that the CIA feeds into the Zeus computer in London.
Quite frankly, I don't see where that gets us.
That's what the cable's for. That's why the computers are paired.
I'm feeling awfully out of this. Mr. Beresford will expect me to take notes, but I can't begin to understand what you're talking about.
It's quite simple, really. Think of the tape banks as two filing systems, one in London and the other in Washington. Every time a piece of information goes into the London file, the computer automatically sends a carbon copy, an electronic carbon copy, to the Washington computer.
Down the transatlantic cable.
Well done, Mortimer.
I see. But how does that help us?
Well, frankly, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. Hold on a minute. I've got an idea.
Well, go on.
There's a teleprinter in your office, isn't there, Jean?
Yes.
Mortimer, can you get me a portable tape recorder, a really good one?
Well, my portable? I mean, I'll have to get on to equipment supplies.
How long will that take?
Well, that's pretty reasonable, usually. We can do it first thing in the morning.
I'll put the acquisition through as urgent.
Oh, that sounds a drag. Must be an easier way. Ah, I bet Cannon's got one we can borrow. He's fond of gadgets.
Yes, he has, actually. A small one.
Good. And I've got to find out the route of the line that links the London computer to the transatlantic cable.
There's a GPO cable map somewhere here, if that's any good to
you. That's marvellous. How did you get hold of that?
We sometimes have occasion to tap people's phones.
Well, this is going to be a similar kind of deal. Shall we do it tonight?
Do what? I mean, I still don't quite follow.
Can you get hold of Cannon's tape recorder tonight?
Well, yes, I can pop over in the car.
All right. We'll go over and pick up the tape recorder together. Jean will need to stay here.
Steady on. We'll have to clear this with Beresford first.
It seems to me that this organization is strangled with red tape. Don't you ever do anything on your own initiative?
This isn't that kind of show.
That's what you think.
Is it, Jean?
This job has a high urgency rating, but we can't initiate action without notification and clearance.
I thought you'd been assigned control,
well,
Mortimer.
Well, Beresford's due over here later this evening. I think perhaps we'd better wait for him.
All right, you wait for him. I'm going.
Now, what do you mean? Now, hold on. You can't do that.
Why not?
Well, I...
There's no reason on earth why I shouldn't walk out of here unless you've got a gun. Even so, there'd be no point in threatening me. You don't seem to understand the situation. You're a thickhead, Mortimer.
Now, just 1 minute.
5 minutes is how long it will take me to explain the plan to you. After that, we go. Jean will stay behind and tell Beresford what's happening when he gets here. She has also to make a phone call for me. That's my way, and if you don't want to do it my way, you can count me out. I have no sense of team spirit, and it won't bother me in the least. Now, is that a deal,
Well...
Right. Sit down again, and I'll tell you what we're going to do.
Cannon's flat's not far, no? Doesn't it strike you as ironic that he drives that damn great Rolls and I'm stuck with his Mini? Incidentally, when we get there, we pick up the equipment and leave. No conversation.
How do you know Cannon will be at home?
He's confined to quarters.
I don't understand.
Neither do I, Hilary. Anything. It's company policy. Now, what's your particular worry?
Why have I been passed on to you?
You've been passed on to me because I am more competent than Cannon to deal with jobs that require brain work.
Because of your public school background?
You don't let up for a minute, do you? Now, what have you got against me?
Since you ask, I don't like phonies.
What exactly are you insinuating?
I'm not insinuating anything at all. I'm telling you that your public school background is a tale of mystery and imagination and should be filed under fiction. That's right, isn't it?
As a matter of fact, yes. I didn't think it was all that blatantly obvious.
I wouldn't mind, but you do it so badly.
Yeah, well, here's what I started, you know, sort of pretending when I first joined the Navy. Well, it isn't really much fun in the Navy, you know, unless you've got some sort of background.
You really are a thickhead, aren't you?
Well, then you get into the habit, I suppose, and it starts to come naturally. But, good heavens, why am I telling you all this? You really are much too inquisitive.
Sorry. Forget you told me, if you like.
Thanks. Shall we call it, Pax?
All right. Pax. Try the doorbell again.
Yeah, it's not exactly salacious here, is it?
You mean salubrious.
Right.
He's out.
My God, you know, they'll be a particularly nasty ride, he is. I think you're right. Cannons for the jump.
There's a window here. Bit hard to shift. That's done it. I could get out onto this ledge. There's a sort of balcony further along.
Yes, all right. I'll see you inside. I've got a key.
Oh, thanks for telling me. Why didn't you say so before? You'd have been for the jump if I'd got in through the balcony and found you sitting in front of the fire.
Well, I was tempted, but then remembered you haven't a very good head for heights.
What makes you think that?
Well, you're the girl who keeps falling off bridges, aren't you? Come in. I'll turn the light on. Well, excuse the squalor. Cannon's den is through here.
All this equipment, tape recorders, loudspeakers, cameras. What this?
Looks like the engine of a car.
He didn't lug all this up four flights of stairs, surely. What are you doing?
Sightseeing.
Do you think it's ethical to look through Cannon's private papers? We're supposed to be picking up a tape recorder, not writing a biography.
Ethics isn't a word we use lightly. In fact, it's not a word we use at all. I believe these are all bills. 3 feet of flexible drive cable, 22 and 6, carburetor, reconditioned, 4 pounds 11 and 3. What nasty, greasy hobbies he has. Piston type sequence valve.
Look, it's nearly 11 o'clock and we've got a lot of work to do.
Yes, you're quite right. I'm sorry. Now there's a small tape recorder here we use for phone tapping. Yes, this is the one. Now, this induction coil plugs into it instead of a microphone. Now, you hold the coil against the cable, and it picks up whatever's going through.
Oh, just the thing.
Oh. Once you've found the right cable.
I was looking at the cable map in the car. The best place to pick up the cable is where it crosses the river. It's marked out on the map as a footbridge, out at Putney, a place called Fuller's Wharf. Good gracious, Mortimer, you look terrified.
My expression is intended to convey distaste. Now switch that torch off, you're blinding me.
What's the time?
Oh, I can't see my watch. Can you make it out?
Let's have a look. 11:35, near enough. Well, this is the bridge.
And we've established that the cable crosses the river at this point, but of course we don't know whether it goes under the river or over it, along the bridge. You hadn't thought of that, had you?
Yes, I had.
Oh.
The cable's relatively new. According to the GPO map, it must have been laid specially when they installed the computer. Don't tell me they'd go to the expense of laying a single cable under the river. I bet it runs along the superstructure of the bridge.
And?
Oh, you're going up there with the tape recorder and that induction coil thing.
And what are you going to do?
I'll stay down here and keep caving.
No, it's a long way up. I've never actually done any climbing.
All right, we'll go together. We'll wade out to the first pile and go up from there.
Wade? I'm not very struck with that idea.
And we'd better get a move on. Jean makes the phone call at midnight, and we've got to find the right cable first.
Have you any idea how much I paid for this jacket?
Keep the tape recorder dry, whatever you do. Not far now. Oh, it's getting deep.
Look, I hope you're happy, because I am hating this.
Lily there. Mind how you go. There's a strong current.
Take my arm.
No, I'm all right.
Well, it's not you I'm thinking of. I need support. I mean, I can't see. Where are you? Hilary. Blast you, Hilary. Where the devil? Help.
Over here.
I'm on the pile. This way. Are you all right?
Well, of course I'm not all right. I practically drowned.
There's an iron ladder here. Should be easy from now on. That's funny.
What?
Quiet a minute. I saw something moving. Over there on the embankment.
There are all warehouses up there. Are you sure you saw something? It's pitch black.
Just for a moment. A flash of light. Like a fish.
Well, you might give me a hand to get out.
Hang on to the ladder and you can climb out.
Yes, right.
Well, anyway, if there is somebody up there, we can't see him, so I can't see how that he can see us.
He can hear us.
That's all right. Well, let's just shut up and press on up the ladder. Go on. After you.
What's the time now?
Wait a minute. 1:45, I think.
Oh, it's cold, isn't it?
You're a sadist.
There ought to be a cable conduit up here somewhere. I'm hoping that all the other cables in the conduit will be telephone cables. If they are, it should be a simple matter to pick out the computer feed line.
I don't see that. How?
Well, the telephones will be talking, or silent, and the computer will be playing three-dimensional drafts. We just tap them one by one until we come to the draft game. What's that noise?
Well, it sounds as if...
What's happening? The bridge is shaking itself to bits.
Oh, hang on.
I am hanging on. Hang on yourself. Are you still there, Mortimer?
Yes, more or less.
Well, that's something we didn't reckon with.
Well, the train. Well, not to worry. Now, let's get on and get out. Hanging upside down under a railway line with a cold Thames licking its lips a couple of 100 feet below is not my idea of a night out.
It's funny you should say that.
What's funny?
Very funny.
Well, nothing can be that funny, not tonight.
I've been here before. There was a footpath that runs beside the railway line. I climbed over the edge of the bridge one night, I suppose it was about 5 years ago, and lay on one of those girders for a long time, looking down into the river.
Oh, now, please, don't jump tonight. Beresford wants you back.
Does he just? Oh, I think I found the bunch of cables. I'm going to put the torch on. Watch the warehouses over on the bank and tell me if you see anything moving. The glint of light I saw may have been the reflection off a pair of binoculars.
Nothing so far.
Yes, they're cables, all right. Pass that stuff up, will you?
Yeah, it's all a bit damp, I'm afraid. Tape recorder.
Thanks.
Headphones.
You know, it's a nuisance about that train.
Yes, but it's gone now.
Yes, but there may be another one. And the sparks those things kick up could put clicks on the tape.
Well, surely the odd click won't make any difference.
Dear old Mortimer, you really don't follow this, do you? What do you expect to come out of the computer? A deep brown American voice?
Well, hardly. No, what?
Clicks. That's all. So the odd click could make all the difference in the world. Too many clicks and the whole file would print out as gibberish. What time do you make it now?
5:55. They should have issued you with a watch.
Right. You'll have to shut up now while I listen to the cables. It's nearly time for Jean to make that phone call.
I expected them to be here. I expected a certain amount of planning to precede any action Mortimer saw fit to take. I expected, above all, to be consulted first.
It's nearly time for me to make that phone call, Mr. Beresford.
And none of these things happened. And where are they now?
I'm afraid I don't know, sir.
What?
They're standing by to tap the cable, but I don't know exactly where. I have to make the phone call soon, at midnight.
Wait a minute. I haven't understood a word of your explanation. What exactly did that damn girl say she was trying to do?
Well, sir, my instructions are to telephone the American Embassy and ask for the night filing section. Mm-hmm. That puts me in touch with one of the Zeus computer operators.
All right. What then?
I have to say this. This is exactly as she dictated it. I don't understand any of it, but this is what she told me to say.
Go on.
I am telephoning on behalf of Mr. Sardanapalus of the American Naval Hospital. Further on the autopsy on Mr. Peter Proctor, Mr. Sardanapalus reports that subsequent laboratory examination of the gallbladder showed evidence of cholecystitis. This will necessitate reassessment of the stomach content analysis. That's the message.
And what does all that mean?
Oh, nothing at all. It's nonsense. Something she dreamed up.
The point being?
I've got her explanation down here in shorthand. She talks very fast, but I think I've got it verbatim. Again, I don't understand any of it. She says... here we are. Anyway, that should fool the computer operator. He'll add that to the autopsy analysis, which will be in Proctor's file, along with all the other stuff we want to know. Now, a duplicate of this false information has got to go down the transatlantic cable and across to Washington, and I'm betting that happens automatically, immediately the information is filed.
Yes, that sounds reasonable enough. Go on, Jean.
This is the bit I don't understand. She says, now, the way the Zeus operates means that you can't just add a new piece of information to the end of an existing file as you would if it was an ordinary paper filing system. There's no spare tape at the end of the file. What happens is that the whole file is dubbed across onto another tape and the new information is added in at the appropriate place. So what goes down the cable to America is not just the spurious information that Jean will phone in, but the whole file. Everything we want to know. That's what we'll be tapping, provided we can find the cable. Do you understand that, sir? Sir?
Sorry, Jean. I was just wondering why I hadn't thought of that. I suppose the man who lived next door to the inventor of the wheel must have been plagued by a similar feeling. Genius is an extraordinary thing. Such a transparent air of simplicity about it. Oh, I suppose we better make that phone call now. We don't want to keep Hillary and Mortimer waiting. It's probably freezing out there, wherever they are.
You look like the Hear No Evil monkey when you put those headphones on. Anything interesting happening?
A high-pitched whine and a lot of intermittent clicks. It's been going on for 3 minutes now without a break. I suppose they're still playing draughts.
Who's winning?
I don't know. I don't play draughts.
Incidentally, now shut me up if I'm intruding, but did you jump? I mean, last time you were here?
Yes, of course.
But what an odd thing to do. I can't visualize it myself. You must have looked ghastly when they fished you out.
Shut up, will you?
Well, I'm sorry.
And turn the tape recorder on. The draught game stopped.
Tape running.
The wire's still silent. Still silent.
Not as silent as all that. There's another train coming.
Oh, no. A train is the last thing we need. Wait a minute. Something's coming over the cable. Lots of clicks. Then nothing. Clicking again. It's stopped. It's all over.
Here comes the train.
Give me that tape recorder.
What? Why?
Give it to me!
Just snatch. I say, what are you doing, for heaven's sake? Oh, my God, she's going to jump. Hillary! Hillary! Hillary!
In Zeus, the third episode of The Joke About Hillary's Spite, Angela Pleasance played the part of Hillary, Dinsdale Landon, that of Mortimer, and Rolf Lefevre, Beresford. Jean was played by Hilda Kreisman. The production was by John Tideman.